Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, a Peugeot 5008 review special edition. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew, and in this episode we'll be trying not to contravene any copyrighted numbering system.
Is that to do with special edition? Special editions, goodness me. This has started well, hasn't it? Is that to do with special agents?
It could be special agents involved, yes. So we're going to be chatting about my time with the Peugeot 5008 GT Line PureTech 130.
It's 5008. That's really how you're meant to say it, isn't it?
Okay.
Just for the absence of doubt.
So we're declaring that that's what we know it should be said. So when we get it wrong, i.e. I get it wrong, throughout the rest of the episode, you all know the proper pronunciation.
Yes. Do as we say, not as we do.
Yep.
Or as we say, oh, hang on, that hurts. Right. Anyway, come on then. What's a Peugeot 5008 GT Line PureTech 130, Andrew?
Well, it's Peugeot's seven-seat SUV.
So it's an MPV then?
No. That was the old
one. Are you sure it's not an MPV?
That was the old one. The new one is an SUV.
Are you sure it's not an MPV in disguise as an SUV?
No, it's an SUV. They put SUV in the literature. They do not have an MPV.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if we're going to get really technical, virtually every SUV is an MPV, just in a different body shell.
Some are more than others. Mm. Anyway, tell me more. Come on.
So this has the new design language from Peugeot with things like the claw lighting and stuff like that, the LED lighting. Yes, quite. The last 5008 was possibly the or one of the ugliest vehicles you could buy new, and I think they have taken that on board and it is no longer like that. So this is a really rather smart SUV.
Mm-hmm.
Nice modern design, really good lines, that sort of thing. So that's what the car is. So the price, this was the one I had was 28,720 on the road. Plus. Okay, sit down and rate for this one. A colour tax of 525.
Okay.
The Vizio Pack 2 for 450.
Dare I ask what that is,
you will find out later? You will find
out
later.
Okay, good.
Focal Hi-Fi system for 590. The panoramic opening glass roof was 870. And leather with heated seats driver massage function, a snip at £1,990. So it actually was £33,145.
So it's the full press car spec there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All the toys have been thrown on it. And the one I had was a 1,200cc three-cylinder petrol engine.
Sorry. Can you just say that again for me?
Right, so this large seven-seat SUV had a 1,200cc three-cylinder petrol engine, giving the whopping 131 metric horses and an enormous 240 torques at 1750 RPM.
That's quite a lot of torques at a very diesel-y point in the rev range.
I will go on to talk about my astonishment at this engine later.
Okay. Well, that sounds promising anyway, because it would be too easy to rip that. So, come on. What, in theory, does that give?
In theory, it gives an official combined 55.4 mpg. I managed to get it up to 51, which I was quite impressed at.
That's not bad, because with, not trying to be nasty, but you are quite lead-footed when it comes to shifting off the line.
Yes. And I do a lot of town.
Yeah, well, exactly.
A lot of town,
exactly.
But I did with this because it was a press car. I did go on motorways and longer journeys and A roads and stuff like that to be a bit fairer on miles.
Your geofencing was de-restricted, yeah. Mm. Yeah, he managed to get permission from your parole officer, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Take your tag a bit further.
They allowed it, yeah. But it gives out 117 grams per kilometre.
It's pretty good.
Which is good, yep. That is a first-year VED at 165.
That sounds like lots, but actually these days that's a bit of a snip, isn't it?
This, they, it only comes with a six-speed manual.
Okay.
Which was all right. And it was sat on 19-inch Boston matte Harrier two-tone finished diamond cut alloys. That is purely cut and paste from the official blurb.
Right. You don't really know what any of that means,
they,
do you?
They were nice wheels.
Okay. It sat on some nice but quite big wheels.
But you still had quite a chunk of sidewall.
Ooh, sidewall. Wow. It's the ultimate luxury in new cars these days.
Yes, it does seem to be. But I think we'll want to go back to white walls soon just to show off how much sidewall we
have. Please, please don't. So anyway, the outside. Now, you said that this was a replacement for the, you're quite right, quite incredibly ugly Mark One.
Mm. That was MPV-esque.
Right. So it really was an MPV.
Mm-hmm. But this one has gone for the SUV look, I would suggest, for a couple of reasons. One of them being how popular SUVs are. Whether it is a true SUV or not, I think is immaterial, because most of these things never go off-road or anywhere near off-road anyway. But I think this is a really, really good look. This and the 3008.
Yeah.
I think are really good looking SUVs at the minute. You know, they do stand out. They have got they've got a very recognizable front end and back.
Yeah.
It's really well designed. I like it a lot.
The building a strong brand with these.
Yeah.
With these Peugeots. With both of them. And what's nice is that they're not cookie cutter either. So the 5008 is different from the 3008, but you can tell they're very much from the same family.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's not the photocopier design school. I'm glad that my thoughts on its looks were backed up, because I got this car. I've been approached by more parents than any other car.
Really?
With people going, what's that? That's really nice. That looks very smart. What car are you driving? And there's lots of, so it's, you know, it is obviously ticking many boxes for the target market.
Right.
Before anyone even opens a door on it.
So it's a winner at school gates, in other words.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. The one I had, it came in Cumulus Grey, which is a dark metallic grey as opposed to a medium or a light metallic grey. I think it suited it quite well. I do like a grey, a metallic grey anyway, you know that.
Yeah, you do, because you're that kind of exciting and standout person.
I know.
But there's a really nice emerald green colour, isn't there? Which is really dark. It's nice, because it's not monochromatic. So is it the only, I've not really noticed many other many others around, which they're either emerald or dark grey or white.
Yeah, it's mainly silver. There's two whites, a bunch of greys and black, and there is another one that's apparently blue. But when you look at it,
Really grey?
It's very grey with a tint of blue in it, so it's just grey. As you would expect from a family car, though, doors open, nice and wide. They are quite heavy though, so the younger cracked windscreens had trouble opening. The eldest,
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
They're trained well enough to not try and open them in car parks anyway.
Yeah,
but sat outside the house, the youngest and middle couldn't open the door very easily. The eldest was the one who had to do that for them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So we just have to, you know, you should just bear that in mind. But that they are, you know, there is definite solidity to this. It's not a flimsy build at all.
So the perceived quality is good anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's easy, once they are open, it's easy to get in. The actual stepping distance isn't massive for them.
Okay.
So that was all right. But, I'll do that in the interior. I don't want to.
Okay.
Because it crosses over. Rear boot is electronic.
So we're talking about doors, they kind of bridge the two, isn't it?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
The rear boot door is electronic, and I can control that via the key fob, a button in the cabin that you have to press twice for it to go to check that you really do want to open it.
Well, that makes sense, because if you're not there and it's going to go anyway, then okay, that sounds really
I mean, the first couple of times I was going, well, I've just pressed it, so I meant it, but I could see how if you would accidentally hit it, you may not want it opening and stuff like that. Yeah. So not that it was in a very accidentally hitting position. But there's
Once you know that you just have to hit it twice,
yeah,
it's easy.
That's it, yeah. But there's also obviously the little button under above the number plate, as you would expect. But you can't pull it up to speed it or anything. You press it and step back and let it do its thing.
That's good.
Which is fine. That's fine. The outside, continue thinking about the outside design, though. It's got some integrated roof bars as well, which help give it a nice smart line at the top because they're silver.
All right, okay, it's a bit of a highlight up there. We'll put it out of aluminium, actually.
But they sit.
Just run with silver, it's less. Yes, it can be less contentious. And, metally.
Yeah. Shiny metal. All the technical terms. And they sit either side of the Panoramic sunroof.
So does that mean you can have roof. You could have, like, a lifestyle rack on there, as well as having the panoramic sunroof? It's not a one or t'other.
Think you could
if the bars are there.
Yeah, because it's a sliding. The roof that does open is sliding, so.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't pop up. It sort of slides along. So you probably when you fitted them, you'd have enough gap in between.
Yeah, aye, for that kind of thing. Cool. Yeah.
The only thing I was really disappointed at is it didn't come with the optional extra folding e-bike that you can actually spec.
That would can you actually now? Oh, you won't know because it didn't come with it. Because my next question really is, does it charge when it's in the boot?
I'm sure I've asked that question before. I don't think it does.
Would just be the coolest thing ever. Mm. Well, not quite the coolest thing ever. It would be quite cool.
Yeah.
It's very 1980s Honda.
Yes. Yes.
So we've bridged the line into the interior, from the exterior to interior already. And you hinted at some stuff. So shall we move there
now? Okay, then. As one would expect from such a large vehicle, tons of room.
Okay.
Acres of room. Happily acres of room.
It's now, this is a three row, so is that acres of room for the front and second, and the ones in the back have to have their legs cut off, or is
actually
acres of room?
The two in the boot, you need to think of them as though you're in an old Merc or an old Volvo.
So that's where you put children you don't like.
They are there for kids.
Okay.
Those seats are brilliantly easy to operate. You can do it all one-handed. Mm-hmm. Putting them up and putting them down again. It's so simple, so light and easy. But they are for kids, and you're not going miles with them in there. Well, you mean you could, but you're not realistically going to.
If they're for kids, does that mean you can put kiddie seats in them?
In the very back, they did not have.
They didn't have
ISO fixes in the very back because they fold down.
Right. Okay.
But they do in the middle ones.
Right. I don't know how ISOFIX works because
it's like a singly base thing, and then it hooks.
Yeah, yeah. I've plugged them. I've rented them for a friend's kids, and then sort of managed because then the rental companies don't fit them to the car. So then I've kind of managed to sort of follow the instructions and make them attach in a way that even when I pulled really hard, they wouldn't move. Mm. So I think I got it right, but they all survived. So win.
Yeah. But the middle seats, the thing I was really impressed with the middle seats is it's three proper seats.
So you could have three proper adults
sat in there, and there's plenty of leg room. And that middle bench moves backwards and forwards as well.
Mm.
But you can do it individually as well. On the seats, or two and one, so you could make the boot bigger or give yourself more leg room, depending on what you wanted to do with all that. But the three proper seats was brilliant. Having the kids now, they're getting bigger and older, giving them that extra little bit of room was they really appreciated that.
That's good. And what about transmission tunnel? Because this must have been front wheel drive, given it's whopping, throbbing V8.
Yes, it was front wheel. No transmission tunnel, flat across the back.
Okay,
so again,
cool. Well, that's what you
easier again. In and through, and all that sort of stuff. So that was really good. In the front, plenty of room for myself and Mrs. Crack Windscreen. And everyone got to sit on the lovely Napa Mistral leather trim.
Yeah, copy and paste job tonight, isn't it, mate?
I'm trying to make sure that I say the right ones, because there are choices on the options list. So.
Oh, gee. Right.
But this came with this sort of funky octagonal pattern-y thing, or honeycomb pattern, which I thought looked really rather quite good. Yeah.
Which you can also, you can spec that on your Mansouri Bentley and stuff as well. That's the other place you get hexagonals. Stitched leather seats.
But I thought it was a nice contrast, you know, because most things are just, we'll just slum in plain leather. But
A PSA are really nice. So the DS7 Crossback that I drove at SMMT, again, it was a different pattern that was stitched into the seats, because of course it shares a platform, doesn't it?
I think so.
They're doing really funky stuff with some of the seats, which I guess it doesn't really add that much cost at their end. But it makes it funky and different, and just a little
makes you
bit
feel
more
a bit more special. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. Is that you've taken that little extra time and effort to think. First of all, think to do it, and then actually do it. So that if I'd bought the car, I'd be going, well, someone's made a bit more of an effort there. I appreciate that, because I'm going to be sat here a lot. But also talking of materials, there was a
My bum appreciates the honeycomb.
Yes.
Sorry, anyway, I interrupted you again.
But talking of materials, there was a really nice mix of materials. In fact, on the doors themselves, they shaped and sculpted the door cards. And card doesn't seem quite the right word for it.
Trims, door trims, I think is.
But they shaped that. And so there was this swooping grey cloth as well. So you got a different material to touch. But I think it's going to hold up well as well. I mean, the car I had was 7,000 plus motoring journalist miles.
And that's like seven times that in real world.
And there was no scuffs, no scratches, no marks, nothing like that in any of the material. It looked like it was all brand new. So I was really impressed with that. But that grey cloth broke up a lot of black. There was some silver trim as well, and some of the switchgear was the scorpion tail switchgear, which is rather.
What does that mean?
It's just in a funky shape on the actual toggle switch.
Oh, okay, right.
So like a scorpion tail.
Yeah.
And that was they were really nice to touch and use, A, because there was actually switches.
Uh huh.
And B, you know, it was an interesting shape. You know, it wasn't just a flat button. You know, you were.
Yeah, it was.
The event of interacting with the car was an enjoyable one.
Right. Okay.
I think that's what I'm trying to say. It wasn't. It's just a button, press a button, and you know.
Yeah, it wasn't. Somebody said, "Well, just shove a button in there from our standard range of switchgear." Someone had actually designed a custom piece of switchgear specifically for this car, and effort had been put in, not, you know, just make it a button.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you're trying to say. That's what I understand from what you just said.
That is exactly good. I'm glad that came through. Front seats. The driver's one was an electric memory massage seat.
Oh, that'd have been good on the school run.
Wow. If you put it in, I'm trying to remember the setting, but it was something like
stiff,
refresh, or keep you awake, or something like that.
Invigorate.
It only got pressed very briefly once, and then I did not need to press that again. That was a pummeling.
Really?
Yeah, I was expecting a massage seat, so just gently little rubby things. You go, well, yeah, it's doing something. But this was like, boom, 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 boom.
Full sports
off,
massage.
Off. It would have been brilliant if I'd still been playing cricket, and I'd just been bowling, and I was driving back. I'd have had the seats on full heat and had that going so I could get out the car at the other end. But every day for me, no, I didn't need the full.
It wasn't a case of getting the back, kids. I'm off to try Helga.
No, it wasn't. That is one optional extra I would not put my money on.
Really?
There was a softer setting, but.
Was it quite nice?
That was okay, but nearly 2 grand for the seats to remember two sets of positions and beat my backup? No.
No. Was there just you maybe don't know. Was there just electric seats on the menu, on the options? Possibly.
There was. You can have electric ones, or you can have the electric memory plus the massage thingy. Talking of, because I think the word that I associate with this car the most was thought.
You said that at the time, yeah.
Lots of thought has gone into this, into the who is going to use the car, why they're using it, what are the purposes. Another example of that is behind the front seat, two fold-down tables, which were actually usable by the kids. Right.
You mean like a Renault Espace MPV, yeah?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, that's what a Renault Espace has, because it's an MPV.
Okay.
But then so is an Allegro Vanden Plan. It's not an MPV. I'm prepared to see this.
But
one.
Again, it's a tiny little thing which many people wouldn't think about. But I saw that and I just went, the people involved have got kids, have had kids in here, have thought about what it's being used for, and that really impressed me. That the attention to these tiny little details.
What do they actually use them for? I'm sorry, I've never really worked out a proper reason for these little.
Well, they can actually sit and draw and write on them, scribble, but also they can put the iPads propped up on them.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes more sense now.
Without them sliding everywhere as well, because the finish wasn't gloss smooth.
No,
you go around the corner, everything just shoots off into the one side or the other. It didn't do that. So.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But also, for the middle passengers, it had some retractable sun blinds, which you could pull up from the bottom of the window and hook on at the top. So you don't need them there full time, even though the windows were tinted.
Yeah.
But you put them up, and it does make quite a difference on that. But,
yeah, my dad always specs those for his BMW for the dog, to keep the dog cool, because he doesn't really like having tints.
But that's another feature that they've put in a more mainstream vehicle, which again makes you as the user feel a bit special.
But even with all the toys, for 33, you know, the level of kit that you've gone through here.
And we haven't even gone to the tech.
even Helga, the over enthusiastic masseurs in there. Still, this is a 33 grand car. Mm. Even, you know, Mojo spec.
Yeah.
Sorry, Press Fleet spec.
Yeah.
So, one last bit of the interior we haven't covered is the boot.
Massive.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
Huge, lovely and huge. It has a capacity of 952 litres with the middle seats in place.
What is that about, a chest of drawers? Could you have a chest of drawers in the back
easily.
Of it? Even with the back seats up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
There you are, antiques dealers. That's what you need.
Yep. And it's a good height to lift things in and out of as well because of where the boot is.
Just quickly on the boot, is it just a normal traditional uppy ways tailgate, or is there a sort of bottom bit?
No, just a normal all in one go.
Because one of the 1008s, it had the bottom bit folded down. I think it was the previous generation.
Yeah, I think they
3008
did.
had that. So I didn't know if they kept that.
Curry
hook count?
Zero.
Oh, no.
But behind one of the wheel arches was a sort of buckety place that would hold a bottle of wine safely without it rattling about. So this is the standard crack windscreen measuring.
Yes.
The measurement, what do you call them?
It's like an SI unit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's our measuring unit of choice. How many bottles of wine?
Works for me.
On the other side, there's an elasticated strap on the actual wheel arch that you could pull out and slot something small in to stop it sliding, because the boot floor was flat with the seats down. Mm. You can actually remove those seats completely, which gives you yet another few inches of space down.
So this
down.
Is for the back, the rearmost seats.
Yes, the two rear seats. You can actually lift them completely out.
So what's boot space like with those rearmost seats up? Is it practically non-existent?
No, it's okay. I mean, I would say that it's you've got there's space enough for their feet and legs in the front, particularly if you slide the seats forward. Hmm. There's space you could store stuff down the side, because there's a gap between the two for right. people to get in and out, for the kids to get in and out, and then there is probably.
Foot
Igo type boot space behind.
Okay, so it's not particularly huge, but there's like a good foot and a bit.
Yeah, you could take picnic stuff, go to the beach, that sort of thing. You wouldn't travel the length of the country trying to cram all the stuff in there.
No, for those journeys, maybe you'd use the roof box.
Or a trailer or something. Yeah,
or rent something.
Because just one tow car. In its class, it won tow car of the year.
Oh, right. Okay. So, well, that's a good sign then.
Yeah. So, yes. Driving.
So what was it like to drive? We've talked about all the kind of staticky stuff.
Well.
Almost all the staticky
stuff. It was quite a surprise. Right. Actually. First surprise was, itty-bitty steering wheel. Little tiny steering wheel.
Uh-huh. And the dials over the top of the ickle tiny steering wheel.
Yeah, when I adjusted it, you could. Yeah, that's the lowest I have ever been able to get a steering wheel in a car. There is such a huge range of adaptability to where you can position that, either in, out, and up and down. It was great. So I had it down really low, because I like having the steering wheel as low as I can get it. And then I could look right over the top of it into the. Into the dials and stuff, but it was. I mean, I'm not joking. That it felt like it was a gaming wheel.
It was that tiny.
Yeah, or my old mini one that I put on.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
As a consequence, I found myself driving much more enthusiastically in this than I anticipated.
Yes. You know, that's funny. That's one of the things I've noticed, because we put a tiny wheel on Johnny the Yaris. And you actually find that it does change your driving style more than you'd expect.
Yeah, I wasn't way expecting
more than you've never done that, taken a car, swapped the wheel over, and then discovered that actually, because you can now just, you know, cross your arms, race driver styly, to get most of your lock, then all of a sudden, then you do it more often than you do it without slowing as much. So was the rest of it sporty to drive then?
Well, I mean, I knew it was sporty because it was a flat bottom wheel. So,
all right, yeah, okay, yeah, it's a fine symbol. Yeah. It was worse. Did it have a little red stripe at
the
top?
No, it didn't. I'm very disappointed in that.
Oh, second rate.
I maybe have to get some red electrical tape and just put it in the middle.
What's that for, rally driving? You wouldn't understand, son.
Navigation is what it's there for.
It's the understeers towards the outer edge of the roundabout.
Right, so this is a big seven-seater. You're not, as you say, you know, just joking there, but you're not taking it rallying. But I found, because of the quality of the ride, which was wonderful, lots of comfort, little bit of body. Well, that. If you've got
lots of comfort.
Yeah, because how many vehicles these days have decided to go, you know, particularly if they go sporty, with sporting elements in it, because this does have a sport
button
that you can press, and things do change.
Does that make it good for the Nürburgring?
I don't know. I don't care.
Just checking.
The acceleration. No, don't, because then you're going to start this SUVs around the Nürburgring thing that's already begun.
I'm not. I had decided I wasn't going to do that, actually. I had intentionally decided I wasn't going to do it.
But in a big family car like this, you want it to be comfortable, because the last thing you want is for the passengers to be miserable, moaning, complaining, not yeah, well.
But they'll be miserable, moaning, and complaining if it rolls about too much as well.
No, well, this had a really good balance. There is obviously some body roll because it's a big thing, but it's kept really well in control. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the sidewalls on the tyres I think really help with the comfort, as well as the suspension settings in it. It just soaked up loads of bumps really well. And you've been on our roads,
yeah,
so they are less than ideal, and it dealt with them fine, absolutely fine. Combine that with the steering wheel, and like I said, I found myself doing things more enthusiastically. I found myself driving more enthusiastically than I anticipated I would or should be. And I was like, oh, actually, you know, this is 1.2 petrol.
Well, yeah,
this is a big old bus. Not that it felt big at all. In any time when I was driving, it didn't feel big.
But did you always know where the extremities were? Because I found that that's the differentiator between whether something is big or feels big.
Out the front, definitely. The back was pretty good because it's almost a vertical back.
Yeah, you see, then it becomes easier to mentally position it on the road. So it's even quite a small car. If you can't work out where the extremities are, it can feel massive, yeah, whilst not being.
Yeah, and the visibility was pretty decent, even though they do go a little bit towards the making windows smaller as you go towards the back. It was still quite large.
You didn't grumble about that on the interior, so I assumed it was pretty good, because it is one of those things that you're quite hot on.
Yes. You like to complain about? Was that the phrase you were trying not to use?
Yeah, that was basically, yeah. That's it. You do whinge about that quite a bit, was what I was trying not to say.
So yeah, this frankly ridiculously small engine for this car, and it didn't feel underpowered ever, even with five up. Even joining motorways, even pulling away from junctions on B roads, A roads, at the motorway, and then, you know, having, you know, you stop behind something and you accelerate to get back up with the flow of the outside lane and all that. Never once did I think, oh, I'm gonna have to take a bit of a run at this. Ooh, I didn't have to adapt my driving style to compensate for the engine.
Okay.
Which I was blown away by. I can see why they keep winning Engine of the Year awards.
Do you know what I'm more impressed about in that? It's not just what you've just said, but also the fact that in real life, without driving to a test, you pretty much hit the same MPG figures that they were promising.
That I really wasn't expecting.
Because I bet that you did what I did. You looked at that first number that they're saying, 55-ish. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
55-ish. That'll probably translate to about 30-something. Mm. But to actually get pretty much that, hang on a minute. Is that 50? Was that
combined? It was 55.4.
From a petrol?
From a petrol.
Flipping heck. We gave a petrol 7-seater.
1.2.
Just ridiculous, isn't it?
There's witchcraft going on in there somewhere.
We forget just how good some of this stuff is. We really do, because
that's an engine.
Can you imagine?
That's an engine that will do for so many people who want a diesel or think they need a diesel.
Yeah, and the thing is, because it's so tiddly, it'll fit in just about every flipping thing in the range. Because if this is going in the biggest, then
you stick that engine in the 208 or something like that, that'll absolutely shoot off the line.
It'll be a cracker. Absolute cracker. Mm. Wow.
So Peugeot or PSA have done a brilliant job with that engine.
I am genuinely amazed, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've said before, there is this sport setting.
Yeah.
Now, I'm torn a bit.
This, like Natalie Imbruglia.
God. This is a 7-seat family car. You don't really need Well, I question the necessity of sticking in a sport button.
Yeah.
I'm torn as to whether that was just a step too far of they've put something in and really it was completely irrelevant. Because when you press it, it puts a bit more weight on the steering. The accelerator's got quicker response. There's a bit of a fruitier noise from the exhaust, which was quite fruity anyway.
Was it farty because it was a triple?
Yeah, it was a little bit, but it was similar when we had the i30. I really liked that noise, which encouraged me to put my foot down a bit more.
Yeah, farty.
But I think that was an addition they didn't need to do as a waste of effort and money, I think.
Tell me, so if you had it for longer than a week, if you can mentally extrapolate, because you know what it's like, when we have these for a week, then you are kind of duty-bound to prod all the buttons.
Yeah.
Would you bother? Would you ever really press it again?
I'd probably forget it was there.
Yeah, okay. That's all I needed to know.
Because I wouldn't have it for most of the time.
So driving with it on is not a necessity. It's not something you felt, actually, you know what, I'm really missing something if I'm not driving with
it. It needs it to get me up the hill or, you know, to get me round my normal journey. It didn't need it. On the roads, though, it was pretty quiet. Wind noise isn't too bad, although there was some from the brilliantly massive wing mirrors. However, like my requirement for comfort, I like seeing. So I'll take a little bit of wind noise on the fact that I can.
Yeah.
I've got wing mirrors that actually are useful. So, no, that was fine.
Oh, we've not got to tech yet, so I won't ask.
No.
But big mirrors are always good.
Is this
the obligatory interior complaint?
Well, a real bugbear for me. Where they stuck the cruise control stalk.
You told me about this. It was Mercedes style,
wasn't it? Behind the part of the steering wheel, from the central hub to the steering wheel that goes at, say, 7 o'clock-ish.
Hmm.
It was directly behind that. I could not see it.
I thought
it was probably best for me not to try and reach around and peer behind the steering wheel whilst driving along to see what bit of it I was pressing. So I just never engaged it.
Yeah,
it should be buttons on the steering wheel. There was plenty of room in that steering wheel to have the buttons, as you would expect.
It's a pet hate of mine, that particular setup, control setup.
No, just
For cruise control, because, you know, we're all so used to buttons on the steering wheel now. Please put it there, folks. The extra stalk, it just seems like an add-on. It's almost always invisible.
Yeah.
Just don't give us steering wheel buttons. Please, people.
Absolutely.
Please. It's for safety.
Yeah, for safety.
Not for nothing else.
Absolutely. Tech.
Yes.
It's quite a bit.
Sorry, I've just looked at the note here. I was expecting to open it and see a list. And what I actually find is a note telling me to see the spec sheet, which I haven't opened. Thank you.
Yes, it's massive. First of all, let's go on with Peugeot's iCockpit. That's their fancy digital gauges and how you can interact with the different aspects you want. They're pretty neat. But I found that I set it to the one I liked and I just left it alone. I mean, they're very pretty. Normal. They are very pretty. And you can customize this to what you exactly want to be able to see. And that was useful. But once I'd done that and I tried on the move going through a few times, I was just like, well, I'm not bothered. I'll just stick with the one I like. And that's pretty much what I did. When you go into sport, obviously things go red. So you know that you're being sporty.
Because you're in sport.
Yes, being sporty. So yeah, but there's an 8-inch touchscreen, which is really clear. And that's where things like the cameras, the 360-degree camera, you had that on one half, and then you'd have the reversing or forward bits, depending on which way you were going and if you were close to things. The reversing camera's quality wasn't fantastic.
Right. Was the screen a bit crummy?
The screen's clearly up to it, but the camera lens itself wasn't very high quality. It was quite blurry. You could still see that you were coming up to something, but I was a bit surprised. I thought it'd be sharper. What else tech-wise? Well, let's go through some of the safety stuff because there's an awful lot of that on there.
Well, there's lots of stuff.
Because it got it's also a Euro NCAP 5-star.
Yay.
So it's got things like the emergency braking system, lane keeping tech, driver attention alert, which I think it just after a while will shout at you and say things like, you haven't stopped. But I was never in the car for long enough for any of that to be triggered.
Right, okay.
It's got blind spot detection, adaptive cruise control if you can work out how to engage it. It would throw up speed limit sign recognition as well. If you had the sat-nav going, it would do it on the big screen, but it would also be on the... If you clicked that option, it would be in between the dials as well for you. So that's quite useful when it sees it. But it didn't spot every single one of them. And it was doing it... It seemed to me that it was doing it purely on the signs it saw, not where it thought it was on the road, and therefore what the speed limit of that road was.
Mm-hmm. You said also it had the Vizio Park 2, which I guess goes along with it.
Yes, yeah.
The 360-degree camera.
It's got a 180-degree reversing camera, but then it's got that 360 thing. That didn't always work. Sometimes it would grey out certain portions around the car, so they obviously hadn't recognised where it was, or it couldn't detect that. So you just have to be aware of that. But what I did like was the way that if you just reversed into somewhere, if you put it in a forward gear, the front camera would come on immediately. Mm-hmm. So if you were going to if you were at a very low speed, that would immediately kick in. So then you could see things in front of you before you
moved
away.
Good.
And I'd not thought about that until it happened. And I thought, well, actually, that's a really good... Again, thought had gone into this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's got things like a smartphone charging plate, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto via the cable.
All 5008s have Apple CarPlay.
Yeah.
And Android Auto and Mirror Link if for some reason you're neither of those.
Yep. The Focal Premium Hi-Fi speaker system is just it's got nice speakers which throw out a nice noise. Very good for listening to podcasts, by the way.
Really?
Yes. Of particular note was the Motoring Podcast and Rear View. They came through really well.
Really? I've heard that they're all right.
Yeah, you should subscribe to them if you haven't already.
I might do that.
Yeah. what else did it add?
All sorts of bits. But sorry, I'm just scrolling through. There is so much, really. You'd need to go look at the website. But you're not... Automatic dual zone climate,
yeah,
all sorts of stuff like this.
It's got the stuff you would expect. One thing that the Magic Wash system.
Magic Wash system.
This is the jet is actually attached to the wiper blade.
Oh, okay.
So it runs horizontal across the wiper blade as it moves up and down on the top of it. Not the greatest.
I'm aware of that, and I feel the same way about it in other vehicles.
Yeah, it's. I would, if you're going to have it there, have it pointing, you know, like a traditional washer jet on the bonnet. Yeah. Have it on the top of that, but really quite close, so then you could get a good spray.
Yeah, but you can't then use it as a strategic weapon against irritating pedestrians or cyclists.
No, but I hadn't thought to. But thank you for bringing up that one.
It has crossed my mind in the past. I have never, of course, done that because that would be bad. Tell me, did it have the 230-volt socket in it? Or was yours not that spec?
No.
There are a multitude of specs here, and I'm still not totally worked out which one.
Just the GT line.
So just the GT line. So not that this is confusing or anything, but so it's the GT line, not the GT line premium.
No, not the premium.
And not the GT line...
No, it's GT line.
GT is above the GT line and has the alloys that yours came with, which were not standard on yours. It's all very confusing. Not that it makes much difference, ultimately.
No, it's the GT line, so just, which is below the GT line premium, which is above Allure and Active.
Yeah, but GT is above GT line.
Right.
You've got to keep going. It's got a page to itself.
Oh, okay. No, it's just GT line.
Okay.
Just, okay. He says. That was hardly under-specced, I have to say.
It was middle of... And yet still middle of the range.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of these cases, Peugeot will probably not be happy with me saying so, but where there is sort of diminishing returns once you get above GT line. Because GT line premium doesn't add much other than your mass... Other than your massage seats, a 230 volt socket, and premium open and go.
Your foot under the boot.
Wave your foot under the boot as well, yeah. Because that's, I don't know, people swear by that actually. I was about to make fun of it and then realized people swear by that. So no, many things.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's packed to the rafters with tech, particularly safety tech. And the eye cockpit is very pretty. It has been fantastically executed. Again, you probably don't need all the ability of it, but...
But would it help you choose to buy it over others? No. If it was your money and you went along, you went, oh, well, somebody... Oh, look, I can choose between... I like that one. As opposed to, oh, dials. Does that help you in your buying decision? Or your leasing decision, as the case may be?
No.
No.
It doesn't. That doesn't sway me so much.
You don't... You're not surprised and delighted by such features?
Maybe I've been spoiled.
Yeah, it does sound like you have been.
No, I mean that genuinely. Maybe because we've had a variety of different vehicles, that particular aspect doesn't blow me away.
No, we're not normal people.
No.
Okay. Should we move on from that?
Yep.
That was a bit of a dead end, really, wasn't it? Wasn't quite how I expected that bit to go. So anyway, overall, you were making some very positive noises at the time. You were even Instagramming pictures, Andrew.
I know.
That's like love for you. Look at my car. Look, I love this.
I was at the time, and I still am. A couple of weeks later, massively impressed by that car.
Okay.
I think it is such a step forward for Peugeot. Mm-hmm. I think it batters away some old-fashioned perceptions. It is a million miles away from Peugeots of the early 2000s. Yeah. You'd think it was a completely separate company.
Mm-hmm.
The effort that has gone into the interior, where you are going to spend your time, and that made that feel it made it feel special. It was in a £33,000 car, and it made, which you know does is a lot, but it made it feel special every time you got in there because of attention to detail and things like the design of the materials they've done.
Mm-hmm.
I was. Really, really impressed.
So
impressed to the point that if we had the cash and I was instructed that we must get an SUV,
uh-huh.
I would put my own money on that.
Okay. So my so would you question that I was about to ask is now completely redundant because you've already answered it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That is the most positive you have ever been... Or pretty much the most positive you've been about any car we've had. I think the only one that really has come close to that has been the Outback.
Mm.
Does that sound fair?
Yeah. This tops the Outback on running costs.
Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah.
And it's slightly bigger, so there's a bit more room for everyone.
Hmm. Cool.
But yeah. Well done, Peugeot.
Yeah.
Really impressed. Really. I cannot stress it. Enough. I was blown away by what they've done.
Well, high praise indeed. Brilliant. On which?
Shocking news.
Shall we finish before he changes his mind? Quickly. So, no. Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Andrew, for sharing that with us.
No problem. If anybody wants to be...
if anybody wants to... Yeah, well, we'll get to how you can abuse him in just a second. But don't forget that between now and next time, you can give us any feedback. Share your thoughts for the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Please don't forget to leave a review and rating on Apple Podcasts or however your podcast app lets you do such a thing. It really does matter. Andrew, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Best way to get in touch with me would be via Twitter. If you search for Crack Windscreen, you'll see me there. And Alan, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Twitter again, people, where I'm at AJP Bradley. That's B-R-A-D-L-E-Y. We'll be back before very long. But until then, I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.